Hey, L.A. Lloyd here. Boy, we're very excited today to have, for my 24th year co-hosting The Rock 30, a guy I've known for those entire 24 years, Jacoby Shaddix of Papa Roach. Good to see you, my man.
Man, what's up, brother? How you doing, Lloyd?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, today is the 18th appearance for you to be on The Rock 30. Now, our show began July 4th, 2000. Your album, Infest, came out just a couple months before that. I don't want to jump too far ahead, man, but 2025 is a big year for both of us. The 25th anniversary of Infest, 25th anniversary of The Rock 30. So with that said, what is 2025 starting to look like for you right now, man?
Oh, man, it's exciting. We're gearing up for a big year, I'll tell you that. First and foremost, I mean, it's the 25th anniversary of our album Infest, which was a massive one for us. And so we're planning some really cool events around that. And we have a book that's finished up that kind of talks about that time frame of, you know, getting the record deal and then going out there and touring. And it's told from a lot of different angles, from, you know, all the members of the band, but then also industry people and other musicians. And so that's like a short little, I think it's like 120-page, 130-page book.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool, great read. And then so we're gonna do some cool shows around that, which is gonna be fun. And then we got new music. We're working on new music right now, and we'll continue to work on new music this year. And so building up what will eventually become an album, but just inspired music, you know, the band's feeling inspired, and it's a good time to be in P. Roach. And I can't wait for 2025. It's going to be a freaking banger. And let me tell you, congrats to you, dude, for that. 25 will be a big one. I get it. Like, we came in the game at the same time. So awesome.
Well, you know, and something that out of all the talk that's been said about Infest, you know, there's one thing that still is in the back of my mind, which I want to drive this. I don't know if I can get this campaign started today, but it's time for bands that, you know, got their start in the 2000s, really came of age, are now eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, Papa Roach is eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And if I think if there's anybody that should be up there accepting that and let me introducing you, man, I would love to make that happen between the both of us.
Wow. I didn't even think about that stuff, dude. Yeah. That's like, wow. That's a crit. That is.
But, you know, look, Foreigner's it's been forever for them. I know some bands have waited forever. And, you know, bands like Nirvana obviously went in their first year and some of those. But look, man, there has been so much great music in rock and roll. And rock has really gone through a hard battle in the last 25 years, man. I mean, it's kind of been almost back in the underground again. But, you know, bands like you and Seether and Disturbed and, you know, some that really came at the same time, I mean, are still waving that flag, man, as bright as ever.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've done our best through the years, and it's just dope because at this point now we're seeing this resurgence happen in rock music, and it's exciting. It's like, I almost feel like it's like early 2000s in a way, just because it's like the guitars are pumped way back up. You know, it's like you mentioned Disturbed. It's like I was chatting with Dave the other day and talking about the tour, and it's just like they're packed to the rafters.
Yeah.
Every night.
Yeah.
And it's, and then you got this new artist, Falling in Reverse, that's coming up. And there's a lot of younger, Beartooth, Bring Me the Horizon, and a lot of very inspired younger bands, Bad Omens, coming up. And I think the future of rock is exciting, rock and punk rock music. Like, it's just bubbling, man. And so, you know, it's a good time to be in rock and roll.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Disturbed again, too, because they're here in Austin tomorrow night. I bring them on stage, and I got an interview with Dave and Dan. And, I mean, this week alone, Monday was Nothing More. Yesterday, Slash was in Australia. Today, you. Tomorrow, Disturbed. I mean, like you said, man, rock and roll is vibrant. It's alive. And Disturbed, you know, doing 9 to 12 to 15,000 a night, man. This is an exciting time for sure. And another artist we just had on recently was Chris Daughtry, who had his first ever number one song on The Rock 30 a couple of weeks ago, only to be knocked off by Leave a Light On.
Well, sorry, Chris. That's my boy, though, dude.
Oh, man. I wanted to talk about that duet you guys did with Scars, because I've mentioned to you many times, that's still one of my favorite songs. But when I saw you guys put that out there in the live version, tell me about, you know, working with Chris and doing that song.
Totally organic. You know, we were just, we were pulling up on Nashville, and somebody was like, told me, they were like, oh, Chris is coming to the show tonight. I was like, oh, snap, I gotta hit him up. So I hit him up. Before I hit him up, I was like, man, maybe I should just holler at him and see if he wants to come do a song.
Yeah.
So I call him up. I'm like, yo, dude, what do you think? You want to come up and do a song with us tonight? He's like, oh, please believe, say less. And I hit him with Scars, and he was like, I'm all about it. So he went and, you know, got all rehearsed up, showed up literally like 10 minutes before we went on stage because Trapping was crazy, right?
Yeah.
Gets in. We run through it once on acoustic backstage and then took it to the stage, and it just, it was a vibe.
Yeah.
Like, it was just such a cool moment in the show. And I kind of looked at him like, while we're performing this, I'm like, this dude is singing the out of this track. Yes, get it. And it's funny because we listened back a couple days later, and because we record every show, and listened back, and I was like, there's something special on this. Like, we need to mix this. And So I hit Chris up. I was like, hey, dude, this wasn't the intention at all, but, you know, what do you think we put a mix on this thing and maybe just throw it out there? Because we put it up on social media, and it just, everybody was sharing it. And we're like, oh, dude, the people want to hear this.
Yeah.
So we've been doing this Tark Away the Dark campaign with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And so this was part of, like, the, I guess, the waterfall of songs that were part of that campaign, along with Leave a Light On and the Tark Away the Dark campaign. And so Chris was totally all about being part of that. So the proceeds from it are going to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And it really just turned into something real cool. And, you know, it kind of brought Chris and I closer together. And we've been just rapping. He's played me a bunch of the new music he's about to release. And Let me tell you, man, it is sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, blow the lid off it, but I was just like, I looked at him in the car. He's playing me the songs. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Like, you on fire right now, bro. And I'm stoked for our brother Chris, man. He's on the come up right now.
He definitely is, man, and it's way overdue. You know, a word that I have really used a lot more in the last 6 or 8 months of my life, my mom passed away last year, and that word is gratitude. And that's the same word that you use to sum up 12 years of sobriety. So I was really enamored when I saw you say that, because gratitude has a lot deeper meaning to me. Tell me what it means to you in that 12 years of sobriety, bro.
Yeah, first off, sorry for your loss, man. That's a heavy one.
Thank you.
But gratitude has been a key to my sober life, and a key to just waking up every day and really just having a better attitude, because I got some stinking thinking, man. I got this mind that just works against me constantly. And so I so soon, or how quick I forget, you know, with what's going on in my life, that I just have to reframe myself and go back to gratitude, because there's so much to be grateful for, you know? And it's something that I've done gratitude lists for, shoot, now it's been 10 years I've been doing gratitude lists quite regularly. And it really does reframe this madness that goes on inside my mind, and gives me an opportunity to live life from a hopeful, optimistic standpoint.
Right.
Talk about some freedom right there. That's some freedom.
You don't even stay with trends. You're always ahead of the trends. It's like you've got a crystal ball, man, where you can see into the future. But it's got to be exciting for you, and keeps making music so much fun, because you just keep reinventing yourself, and it just happens very organic. What's the secret, man? Is it just a little bit of luck in there, I guess, too?
I think some luck and a lot of hard work and the willingness to be able to fail on the world stage.
Right.
You know, and I've failed at times, you know, and that's like, that's not fun. But then the successes are, it's like makes the successes really exciting for the band. And, you know, because we definitely have, like, evolved through, you know, styles and really pushed the art in a lot of different directions. And I just feel that it's like, it's one of the reasons why I don't have part of side projects, essentially. It's because, like, I can just scratch all the itches with P. Roach.
Right.
It's like, if we want to do something that's stripped down and acoustic, we're just like, let's go do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we want to do, we went in the studio just recently, and I was like, I want to go write the heaviest, most brutal, most just savage P. Roach we've ever done in our career.
Yeah.
And we went and did that. And I was like, ooh, that's exciting, you know? So it's like, we allow ourselves to go out there and just get wild with it. And then we reel it in when it comes to putting out a record, and, you know, we find out what's really working for us, and we, you know, we push that forward. But yeah, innovation is definitely part of the recipe, and We got to keep that up.
Back in 2022, you did this interview with the Grammys, and you said, as I've grown as a father, you know, I got three kids, I've raised these boys up. It definitely changes my perspective on how I approach the mic, how I interact with the fans, how I am on stage, how I am on a daily basis, man. And I've thought about doing kind of a Father's Day show talking about rock and roll dads, but that one really kind of hit home and really brought the theme of that particular upcoming show to fruition. So tell me, you know, what it really takes to play the role of Jacoby Shaddix and Papa Roach, but at the end of the day, you got three boys looking up to you.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a balancing act. I think early on I was a bit lost and trying to figure it out. There was no shortage of love, right? But my own self-love, my own worth was pretty broken.
Yeah.
And then, you know, cleaning my act up, that was like, you know, I could be there emotionally available to my kids. And I think that that's something that I really pressed in upon up through the years, is to be emotionally available and not just be in the room, but part of the conversation, and, you know, help steer my boys in the right directions and inspire them, and because they inspire me, honestly. It's like, and it's just, it trips me out as they get older how our relationship evolves, and you know, moments where I'm like, wring that kid's neck, and I'm look, that's, you know, what's driving me up the wall, and I'm like, it's like, that's me and you, that, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just some strange dynamic, man. And you know, as I evolve and grow as a father, you know, it's like sometimes I win and I hit the mark, and then sometimes I'm like, what could have done that better? You know, and you know, I do my best out here. I got a great relationship with my boys. I'll tell you that straight up. Like, yeah. I'm grateful for, you know, being able to suit up and show up for them, because they suit up and show up for themselves.
Indeed.
Let's go.
Yeah, I got two daughters myself, 19 and 23, and I'm very right there on the same page with you, man.
Yep.
Well, since the pandemic, Papa Roach has really taken more control of their destiny in many ways. I mean, you started your own label. You've embraced social media immensely, and it's really done well for you. And now you just signed with Wasserman Music for worldwide representation, and we're not talking small deal here. We're talking, they represent Coldplay and Deftones, Kenny Chesney, Ed Sheeran, many more. So tell me about this important decision, and why was it now the right time to sign with a company like this?
I think we were looking at the big picture, right? The big global picture. 2025, what's that look like for Papa Roach? There's a global priority here. It's not just let's tour in the States. It's how do we roll this thing out worldwide?
Mm.
And Wasserman really fit that vision, and it's cool to work with somebody, you know, a booking agent that, it was kind of cool. One of the moments, Corey, she was like, you know, booking a band really isn't that hard. It's all the other things that we can bring into play, the marketing and the creative, that really make the job exciting. How do we make it more than just a tour?
Right.
It's like, how do we make this thing an event? And to work with inspired people on a worldwide global level, that, you know, the synergy, they're talking with each other. It just feels like the rollout for what we're going to do in 2025 will be, we have big plans. We got big goals, you know, and we're still dreaming. And I think to have a team that believes in us that way at this point in our career and sees that same vision and is just as inspired as we are, it's like, all right, that's a recipe for, I think, some great touring and a good story, and to continue to just essentially build on the legacy of what we're trying to create.
Well, in the years I've known you, you've had 10 number one songs on the Rock 30. A couple, two or three hit number two that should have hit number one. So, but the strange thing about this point I'm trying to make is, out of those 10 songs on the Rock 30, four have been from Ego Trip. I mean, and this part of your career, that's got to say something to you and to the fans. But, you know, the one that really is bringing it home is Leave a Light On. And I know it's hard to put into words what this song means to you, but tell me what it feels to you when you're on the stage singing that song, man, after everything that, you know, gets said about it and what the proceeds are for. But what does it feel when you're singing that and the fans singing with you?
It is, honestly, it's my favorite moment in the show. I mean, when we went out last year and started performing that song, it was just like, step on stage and it's just acoustic. We never do this, right? Acoustic guitars and a vocal. And it just set this tone that I don't know, just honestly, like, made me feel like a valid musician, you know, in this weird way, you know, because it's like we can turn up and get rowdy, but it's like when you can just strip it down and be raw and just lay it all out there on the line and in the middle of a room in front of thousands of people, that's a, and this, there's a palpable energy in the room that I could feel every night. And it just was, it just became my favorite moment in the show. And super rewarding, and just to see the reaction of people and the connection and people singing along, and you could just feel there was something special in the room. And it's not always like that. We landed on it with this song. And so it's like, it's, it, it will definitely be something that will grow and evolve as well, I think, as we perform it.
Right.
We've worked on some alternate versions of the song for the stage in particular. And it's, we got some really cool things in store for this one, you know, so it, it will evolve as we perform it.
Well, as I said, four number one songs from Ego Trip, and there was, it was published that, you know, being your 11th studio album, this one has acquired over 260 million global streams. That's as of February 1st, and it keeps growing and growing. I mean, to me, as an interviewer and a DJ and someone who's played your music throughout the years, those numbers are mind-boggling to me, especially this advanced in your career. But when you hear 260 million global streams, what does that make you and the rest of the guys think about, man, when you really see it just laid down there on paper in the stats?
It is a trip when we look at those stats, you know, and I'll just put it like this. I'm blown away. Really interesting. It's like this exceeded my expectations of what I was setting out to do as a young man. And to be at this point and to look at that and go, like, this is really happening. Sometimes it takes a minute for it to settle in, but I definitely am. I'm stoked about it, you know, but it's like, I don't know. I still got more to prove, you know, there's still more, you know?
Well, the thing about InFest, you know, going into its 25th anniversary and you're on this major label when that comes out, I mean, you guys were kids and it's like all of a sudden then things really start shifting in the music industry and your career kind of goes, you don't know where to go. And then all of a sudden, here we are 25 years later, man. And it seems like you're right back where you were at the beginning when, you know, the music industry had a gazillion dollars to toss out around everywhere. You know, it's got to be feeling great to you, man.
Oh, it's dope, man. It feels like full circle, really and truly. And it was in a way, we released an album before we were signed, before we had a record deal. And it's called Old Friends from Young Years. And that's what the vision was, right? It was like, that was the goal. We want to be old friends from young years. And here we are now, started the band in 93. 30 plus years later,
wow.
We're still buddies. We're still bros. Even with Dave Buckner, our ex-drummer, it's like we've been able to, you know, build relationships and become great friends again. And so it's like, it's a wild arc. And the story is still being told.
And you still look good, man. I mean, I'm trying to do my best for 62, man. But damn, you look fine, man. The way that you get out there and kill it, man, you're looking good, brother. I got to tell you.
Appreciate the kind words, man. Just trying to take care of myself. Lots of water.
Indeed, man. Lots of water. Back to Leave a Light On. This was kind of interesting. Luke Spiller from the Struts did Carpool Karaoke. And, you know, he kind of took his first vibe on that song. And the way he described it was this dark country feeling with a Johnny Cash vibe to it. And I could tell that kind of took you back a little bit, man, to get that description. So what did you feel when he said that? Because I was like, you know, I can totally get where he's coming from after he said that, even though I never thought that.
I was straight tripping. It's Johnny Cash is one of my favorites. Just what a great storyteller, great songwriter. He was the reason why back in the day we started wearing all black. You know, the song, yeah. The Man in Black.
Yeah.
Yeah, that trips me out. You know, I'm a big Johnny Cash fan. Been listening to him for years, and so that was definitely like an honor to be even said in the same breath. And you know, when we were writing the track, it wasn't like I was going, let's do this Johnny Cash thing. I was just like, let's just do something stripped down and raw, and it just naturally had a little bit of that, you know, country-esque feel to it. You know, a little folk feel to it. And yeah, man, Luke Spiller, that dude is he's a front man. He is a dude for real, man. That guy can throw down.
Well, that kind of leads me into my next question. We were talking about, you know, how the creativity is really going to be devoted to 2024 as you get ready for next year and new music you're working on. And I mean, I know how much you love collaborations. I don't know if there's a wish list, but I'll tell you who I would add first to the wish list is the man you just mentioned, Luke Spiller, because I think that dude and you guys doing something together would be sick, man.
It's not a bad idea. my brother. He's just a pet. You know, I've been watching that dude on stage for years. And every time I see him, there's not one time that I see that dude on stage where I'm like, oh, you phone that in. Like, yeah. He's one of those guys. It's like, he's just got this thing oozing out of him. It's just personality, and that he's just got that charisma. And like, oh, he's one of the guys, man. So I like your suggestion.
Thank you again, as always, for being on the show, man. Best of luck to 2025. I'm going to start that campaign to get you into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame also. I mean, we're going to take you to the moon and back, brother.
Let's go. Let's go. Ellen Lloyd, man, love you, bro. It's great seeing you, dude, for real.
You too, my friend. Take care. We'll talk to you soon, and hope to see you live down the road, too.
Absolutely.